Okay, I'm only supposed to ask certain people some questions, okay? All right? I've been directed to only ask certain people.
Who's on the list?
It's not Peter Ducey, that's for sure. Okay. All right. That was a paid political announcement. Okay. All right.
With Tommy Henry, you had mentioned the other day maybe working on the slider. What sorts of adjustments do you feel like?
Well, we just got done having a bullpen about, I'd say, 30 minutes ago out there. It was we brought TrackMan out. And basically, in looking at his grip, and the guys, the really good breaking ball pitchers that I've had a chance to be around, they hold Ryan and a bunch of other people. They hold the ball a lot deeper in their hand. When I saw how he throws it, he really holds the ball further out on his fingertips. And so we got it a little bit stronger by getting it deeper in his hand. And today the TrackMan data showed that it was the right track. You know, a lot of times I'll think that it's the right track, but it's always nice to get objective feedback instead of these old eyes looking at stuff. And so the curveball and the slider were much, much improved in terms of spin rate and the power that he felt with the pitch. So it was a good day at 2:30 today. It was good.
What have you been seeing out of Melanson? I know Torrey talked yesterday about taking him out of the closer's role, at least for right now.
Yeah, you know, obviously Mark has been a true professional. If you really dive into the numbers and everything, and I've been racking my head about what's happened. If you look into the numbers in the last 6-7 years of his career, the numbers that are generated in terms of hard hit balls and spin rates and all the different things that analytics will bring, he's had his second best year in the last six, basically this year. Last year when he had 30 plus saves for the Padres, he had a 58% rate of when they combine everything. This year he's at 57. So it's the volatility of the closer role that really exasperates and highlights things that are wrong. You know, when you give up two runs in the fifth inning, let's say, people don't really eyeball it too well. But when you give up the run in the ninth, it stands out, and that's the price you pay for being a closer. But he recognizes that a change was needed. It doesn't mean that he will not close games. It's just a matter of not having a defined role for him. And so I expect him to be better. You know, nobody's more concerned about the 10 losses and all the different things that have transpired. It seems he's fine in save situations, but the tie games with the lead runner on second base, that kind of thing has been a difficult task for him.
Do you explain the volatility of the closer role for the inconsistencies throughout his career? This is just not like the first time he's had a downturn in his career.
Yeah, how many years has he been pitching in the big leagues?
I don't know, what, 9 or 10?
Maybe? Yeah, has he had some good years?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's had some bad years, and right. You're going to see that with unless you're Mariano Rivera or you're Trevor Hoffman, you're going to have that. You're almost at the whim of. There were some games where he made really good pitches, and a ground ball goes in the 5.5 hole by Rojas, where if he hits it 2 feet to the left, we turn a double play, and that particular outing, it's a good one. So, what I'm getting at is that the underlying numbers have been. It's not like his velocity has dropped. It's not like his cutter has lost its cut. It's not like his curveball has lost its spin. It's just the nature of the position that he's in right now, where every little thing seems to go against him and goes against us. And I think, you know, when you think about relievers, they're really kind of like, and I said this earlier, I think they're like a pack that rotates, and you catch them on a good year, and then they may falter in the following year. They're very. Unlike starters that kind of have their routine and everything, it's kind of a mix, and you hope you hit it right. I mean, if the Yankees can put Chapman in the seventh role or send him down to AAA, then we sure as hell can do what we're doing with Melanson, in my opinion.
Last three starts, I think, Zach Gallen.
Pardon?
Last three starts, I think Zach Gallen's been throwing his changeup 4 miles an hour slower or something. What was the thinking behind that adjustment?
Well, he wasn't getting the guys on the front foot as much as we looked. So all I did was I took a page out of Maddox, where instead of with the changeup, instead of pressing the changeup into his glove, which kind of strengthened his grip, I kind of showed him what Maddox did where he hovers it and he doesn't really press it in there. So it's just a small little thing. The problem we had was that it got a little bit too slow in Cleveland or whatever, and he started to slow his body down a little bit. So, you know, as the season goes on, you're always looking to tweak things. You very rarely do you just stay the course. And he, you know, I think he's going to – I think the biggest thing in the Cleveland game that hurt him was his lack of elevated fastballs, and that's what we worked on today at 215, okay? And his curveball, he threw 22 curveballs against Cleveland, who is the number one team in baseball in contact rate. They don't swing and miss, and I don't think he got one swing and miss on 22 curveballs. So to hide that curveball, we need to throw elevated fastballs, and he did not do that. And so that was our emphasis today. So it's an ongoing thing as I meet with the analytics and get the numbers from people to see if what I'm thinking is right, if it's wrong. I don't just jump willy-nilly into a process without getting that information to see if it corresponds to what my eyes are telling me.
I know with the changeup, there's a school of thought that like you want it to be 10 miles an hour off the fastball. I mean, when do you go to that, and when do you say it's fine to be a little harder?
So if we were talking about Zach Greinke, who throws his changeup faster than he does his fastball, I mean, that kind of goes in the opposite direction. So it's really the movement of the ball and the arm speed. Michael Walker throws his about 5 miles an hour less. So you see it. I think there was a kid with the Cleveland who throws it like 19 miles an hour slower. Morgan, I think, who gave the home run to Perdomo the other day. So it's really the arm speed that's most important. There's three things involved in a changeup. There's location, there's ball movement, and there's arm speed. Arm speed trumps everything. So basically, just the deception part of this thing is what we need to maintain. So I really very rarely call it a changeup. I call it a slow fastball, to keep that mindset that you have to throw the ball. So,
but you're saying that was the issue in Cleveland, is the arm speed was a little bit slower?
Well, as we tried to slow the ball down a little bit with this kind of thing, he took it another degree, started to slow his body down. That's what the hitters read.
Yeah.
You really, the pitcher, the hitters want to dance with you, and we don't want them to dance with us, okay?
Strami, Zach is such a student of his craft, and I think enjoys exercising that muscle. Does that occasionally maybe get in the way of his aggression? That's probably not the most well articulated question.
No, it's a great question. He read my mind. I've had this issue with him time after time. He has so many weapons. It's like playing Russian roulette. You know, he has a lot of bullets in the chamber, and he spins that chamber, and whatever, you know, comes out. It's almost better if you have a simple approach. At times, identify what's going best for you. If you have these many weapons, you almost feel obliged to throw them, and you might be throwing the wrong one at the wrong time. I mean, if you think about Randy Johnson, what was his? He had 50-50, right, for the most part, fastball slider. You look at Ryan, fastball curveball until he got late in his career. You look at Merrill. Merrill's really good at basically simplifying it. It's fastball, curveball, cutter, occasionally changeup. You know, it's kind of a mix, but Zach can do so many things with the ball that it can be a ban, so to speak. So the question is a really relevant question, and you'll see it. And what you see with that is the pitch counts climb very quickly.
Yeah.
And you know, I look at the game and I'll see 32 pitches after three innings, and of course my mind races to eight innings, and then before I know it, it's 85 pitches after 5 2/3, and that's where I think we need to get over that.
Is he resistant at all to sort of streamlining?
No, not at all. You know, it's he really studies. He and Dan Heron have a special relationship, and I've kind of stayed out of that a little bit because it's been so successful for Zach. And he has these weapons. He has these scouting reports. He enjoys that part of the thing, you know. But there does come a point in time where it's just mano a mano, me against you, and I have to beat you. And a lot of times, I'd rather somebody throw the wrong pitch with the intent than throw the right pitch with a question. So it's a process. This guy's gonna be a 20 game winner one of these days. You know, he really will. He's that good. He really is.
How does the Kevin Ginkle that you're seeing now compare to the guy maybe you heard about or first saw this spring?
Well, a couple days I was during the early work in January, I was making the drive from Tucson up to watch the guys work out, you know, and he immediately I immediately gravitated toward this guy when I watched him throw. I said, this is a power arm with a great slider. I mean, a really good two-pitch mix. And I kept asking guys, what's the deal? You know, and I guess from what they've told me that he came here and got off to a good start and then kind of faltered a little bit, you know, and you can always try and find a reason. As I've said many times, they come when it's their time to come. I hope this is the time because I really like this young man. I think he has strikeout stuff, which is something that we need, which we don't have presently. And I'm just glad we finally got a chance to see him. I know the other day in Cleveland, when Carson came into the dugout, he says, man, that's not the Gankel I remember. You know, so it's pretty special stuff.
Are you involved at all in the Crouch and the evolution?
No, I kidded him the other day. I think he thinks he's, who was the guy with Philadelphia that did it all the time, the closer for Philly, where he bent down. I don't know why he does that. It's
Proskey?
Huh? No, who was the closer for the Phillies?
Williams?
Huh?
Mitch Williams?
No, he was left-handed. Come on.
Bradley?
Not Lidge.
Lidge was a right-hander.
Yeah, well, this guy's right-handed too, but he used to be with Philadelphia. Was their closer? He was on their World Series team. Closer? Huh?
Tug?
No, the Phillies, no. Philly, although Tug was on it, it's right-handed.
Well, Lidge was the closer on the World Series.
Was it? Well, who was the other one that got in the fight with Harper?
Papelbon.
I think he patterns it after Papelbon. That's the one. Yeah, yeah. So it's just like when I was in Houston and Luis Garcia did the Rockabye Baby stuff. It's just their thing. You know, when they bring the pitch clock in, though, we'll see how that works.
Yeah, Bumgarner was talking last night after the game that he's not pitching at. I'm paraphrasing.
Who's this?
Bumgarner.
Yeah.
But he's not pitching at 100% right now. That basically, that's why he was backed off a couple of days from his start. What actually is going on with Bumgarner?
Well, he's you know, this car's got a lot of mileage on it, you know, and you know, he's a competitor. I was pleased with the velocity that I saw early in the game, 92, which was something that I was hoping for. But he just needs. I thought with the 6 days off in between his last outing, he would be fine. I think just some misplaced pitches. You know, it's just I'm still scratching my head a little bit as to how to help him a little bit get through some of these times where we're not getting the swing and misses that I normally would like to see. It's just an ongoing thing dealing with veteran pitchers or rookies. I remember looking, there were times when Verlander and Cole and Keuchel and these guys, they would run into streaks where things weren't going good, and everybody thinks they have it made, and they don't, you know. So it's just hopefully, you know, we get him back to being who he should be.
There's nothing physical?
Nothing that outside of 100 plus innings at this time of the year brings, you know, anything like that. So
you mentioned Tommy Henry's grip on his slider and curveball. Why is that something you guys didn't change until?
Why is that what?
You mentioned Tommy Henry's grip. Why is that something you guys didn't change until now?
Well, I haven't been with him, for one thing. That's and he had some success with it at the AAA level, and I was unaware of the grip that he was using. It was just my idea that I thought we could improve it and make it better, and we're in constant contact with our minor league affiliates and everything, and he was doing pretty well at that level. And I just kind of felt after watching the Cleveland game that I saw a lot of kind of not sloppy, but just didn't have the bite that I expected to see. And that was my first time watching this young man pitch outside of early in spring training. And I just decided to make a jump at it and see if it worked. He seems to like it. All you can do is try, and if it doesn't work, then you go to a different thing. But he seemed to like it today. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I live for, really, you know, is to see these kids improve.
What were the things that you liked about him on Wednesday?
I liked his poise. I liked the fact that he challenged guys. I liked the fact that he didn't back off when things got rough. I thought that was very, very good. I like the life on his fastball. I just think he's the kind of kid that is, you know, obviously pitched at Michigan. I think the key to his success was actually me playing the Michigan fight song prior to him leaving our meeting. Okay, even though I detest the song, I played it for him, and he seemed to kind of get pumped up a little bit about it, you know. So it's, but first time out against a good team. It might have been a little bit easier against a more free-swinging team like the Tigers or some teams like that. We happened to pick a team that just is very difficult to pitch against and puts the ball in play a lot. So, you know, with some speed. So.
Seems like Chris Davinsky has looked really good early on the season. I know you have some experience with him back in Houston. What have you seen from him so far?
Well, I have to give credit to the medical staff here with the D-backs. Chris was a World Series guy, and it was an All-Star one year. And as you know, he's well known for his changeup, which is a plus-plus pitch. But I was pleased to say 95 last night come up on the board, and he was aggressive, and it was really great to see. What we need to do now is get him over the hump in terms of workload and make sure that he realizes that he's healthy. It'll be interesting to see how he's feeling today throwing the baseball. Yeah, I think he had 22 pitches last night, and he pitched very well. The double was the ball off the end of the bat, found some grass down the left field line. But man, it was big not letting that run score. Obviously, turned out to be pretty important. So really happy for him to come back. He's a gamer. He's a warrior. He takes the ball all the time. And like I said, one of the four best relievers I've ever had as my stint as a major league pitching coach. We all good?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Brett.
For the other three?
Pardon?
Who are the other three?
Harris, Osuna, and Presley.
Well, I'm Barry Bloom. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Where are you from, Barry?
Originally?
Yeah.
New York.
Oh, yeah.